We're in lesson 56 in the book of Ephesians. And if you will, be getting Romans chapter 6 too and Ephesians chapter 4. And last lesson we left off in verse 22, that ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. Now, you got to think about this a minute. You have been taught by Christ, right? When Paul spoke words and taught us, he is speaking the words of Christ. So Christ himself was not here on this earth teaching us today. He's in a book and he comes off the page, and he's also living inside you, the third part of the Trinity. But you have been taught by Christ that you put away the old man when you trusted him. Okay? And the old man had been crucified in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And back in Romans chapter 6, we talked about, he deals with the issue of that between how you walk in the new man. That's why Romans 6, 7, and 8 deals with that issue. Now, when you're in the book of Ephesians, Paul assumes that you already know the foundational truths in Romans. That's why he don't bring it up in a lot of things. But as soon as he turns from the issue of being justified by grace. Now, what part of Romans do you find that at? That's where you find, once he settles that, that you're justified through grace plus through faith plus nothing else, he turns to the issue of living under grace and that whole issue. We have studied this stuff before in a Romans class. But Romans 6, 7, 8, he's walking in grace. He's walking in the Spirit. He's walking in the new man. And the old man is crucified by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. When did that happen for you?
When we got saved.
When you got saved. When you trusted Christ died for your sins, buried, and rose again, that identification is what's a part. That's why baptism, when people talk about baptism, they don't want to put you in a watery grave or sprinkle you. That ain't got nothing to do with baptism, guys. It's identifying who you are in Christ through his death. That's the main thing. That's what, by one Spirit are you baptized into Christ's death. He takes your spirit. So you have a body, and you have a soul, and you have a spirit, don't you? That's how we're made up. And your body is called the body of sin. And your old nature, sin nature, finds its seat, its origin in your body. We understand that, don't we? I mean, think about it. There is a thing that happened to Adam and Eve when they took the fruit of the garden, and it generically defected them. If you believe your Bible, you believe that to be true. And it morally affected them, and it spiritually affected them. It affected them several different ways. And your old sin nature is resident in your flesh, your body. That's what we talked about last couple lessons. This flesh is nothing but a hog. It wants. And you have a soul in you that is really you, the real part of you, your soul. Then you have a spirit. And when you get saved, your dead spirit has life. And God, the Holy Spirit, comes in, and the result is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Something's changed in you. Or should have changed in you. You have the life of Christ come in, and your new nature, your new man, Christ in you, is a resident in your spirit. Now, if you we're going to break this down a little bit. But think about this. The spirit is the seed of the new man. And the flesh is the seed of the old man. And you are in between both of them. You know, I jokingly talked about Dan and Leon. I was going to separate them this morning. Put one on this side, one on this side. But they might corrupt the people in between them. So you might as well stay together. You know. But anyway, you're in between an old man and a new man. You're stuck in between it. And as an unsaved man, your soul is chained to this flesh. You walk and talk with people that's not saved, and you see how much they look, you know, is about the flesh. You know, I trained a guy this week, and you know, we talked about some things, and he knew some Bible, and we continued to talk. But when I was trying to make some illustrations of what's doing right and just being trying to justify your wrong, he didn't understand that. So I'm like, oh, he's not where I'm at spiritually. He's still trying to justify himself because of the color of his skin or the condition that he's in. You know what I mean? You know, everybody's against me. You don't understand. I was like, yeah, I do understand. He's in the flesh. And your spirit was dead. And when you got saved, God the Holy Spirit came in and gave you life to your dead spirit. And he circumcised, cut away the body of sins of the flesh through circumcision as Christ. Now, you may not felt like you was dead because you felt alive. But your spirit was cut off from God Almighty. And when you identify with Christ, Jesus Christ at Calvary, God the Holy Spirit took the Word of God and he cut loose your flesh, and your old man died with Christ that day at Calvary. Hold your finger there. You're in Romans, but you remember the Colossians chapter 2, verse 13? Just turn over two books. Colossians chapter 2. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 says, "And you, being dead in your sins and uncircumcised of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." Mm-hmm. Now you're dead in your what? Sins. You're living in the flesh. And he cut. Ephesians chapter 2. You're in chapter 4 of Ephesians. Go to chapter 2 of Ephesians. Verse 1. "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Now what was dead in trespasses and sins?
Our flesh.
And your spirit. Your spirit was dead in that, right? You was already living it. Your body was already there. And your spirit was cut off. Positionally, we talk this a lot about. Truth is not positional truth is not teaching you about things you felt or experienced. This is not what it's talking about. If you go on your feelings and stuff, you're not there positionally. And that's the truth of experience. You take your experience and you say, okay, woe is me. This happened to me today. You know, this guy's going to bug me about stopping at a stoplight or stuff. You know what I mean? That's. But phase two of the Christian life, the Christian in time and his living, taking that position that he got in the instant that he trusted Jesus Christ and bringing that into reality of his life, bringing his life into line with his position. Now, if you're positionally already seated in heavenly places, where should your Christian life be? Position where? You know, time and time again, our conversation is not of this world. You know, we should be where? Focus up there. But once again, if you're like me, sometimes I just love sitting here, you know. And I challenged you last week to be walking the new man versus walking in the old man. How'd you do with that? Have you thought about it since I brought it?
Well, Paul says that we should, he has learned to act wherever he is, whatever circumstance.
But the new man that we're talking about, was you a little different when you talked to people this week? Was I, Sherry?
I think you were.
Okay, thank you.
We talked about this morning about when you asked me, how'd you do on your homework? And so we're having a conversation, then you have to think about it. Like, did I have any moments where I was ashamed of how I behaved this week?
My position is when I trained this week, I could have been in that old man. Mm-hmm. But you know something? I said, you know, I'm going to be in that new man. He's going to see something different in me. And it worked out pretty good. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, bringing his life in line with that position. When you got saved, God the Holy Spirit circumcised you, and your body was reckoned dead. Turn to Romans chapter 3. It was reckoned dead. It was crucified with Christ. Romans chapter 6, sorry. Romans chapter 6. It was crucified with Christ. And verse 3 says, "Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, was baptized into his death? And dying with him, we were circumcised." We had the body, the sins of the flesh, cut away through the circumcision of Christ at Calvary when he died there. And our identification in his death makes it ours. So that spirit was cut off from God, dead in trespasses and sins. You were still in a body of flesh, and your soul is the real you. And he cut that away to where you no longer is part of that old man. And the old man has been crucified in Christ. He has put off, has been put off when you got in Christ. What do you feel there? Some of us talk about we had a new experience. You know, I never did drink, party, or nothing afterwards. You know, praise God, hallelujah. You know what I mean? Some of us can do that. Some of us are like, you know, this old man, I'm still, I love this old man. Because why? It's your flesh. You see it every day, and you're in it. But he's been put off and got when it got in Christ. And in view of that, you put off the lifestyle that old man's taught you to live. I've been taught some bad things since I was been brought in this world. And this old man liked it. You know, I talked with this driver and talked about, you know, things that you saw when you was a child. Is it still etching your mind, burning your mind? And he agreed it was. You know, there's some things that this flesh is just like, you know, it thinks it's got to have it. But the old man is put away. I'm learning that as I get your age. Some of you are already there. But anyway, I got something to look forward to tonight. But look, it has been put off. And the lifestyle, the old man, that taught you to live, that's the way the old man used to tell your soul to live. So that body, this old man, this body of flesh, is telling that soul, the real me, how to live. And your soul is like, sometimes it's arguing with it, knows that you shouldn't live that way. And some of it's like, yeah, go ahead and continue to live that way. You're okay. Man, I keep feeding me. I want some more of this. Your soul is you, and that is where your will and your heart is found. You ever notice that? How people, you know, they got head knowledge and they'll tell you what you want to hear, but you kind of put those glasses on and you can see their heart and see where their heart really is. Isn't that, you know, we can fool each other all day long, but you're not going to fool God. I'm sorry, you're not going to fool God. And he knows your heart. What does he say about your heart?
Desperately wicked, deceitful above all things.
Now, is it now? It is?
Well, in our flesh.
In the flesh, but if you start feeding it the right way, it's going to say, yeah, I know your heart. You know what I mean? I want to know your heart. I don't want to know your mind. But look, it is a part of you that is you, your own personal self, your ego, your self-worth, your image, and all that business. Look at me. You know, puffed up flesh. It is who you are. You are not a complete person without the body, the soul, and the spirit. We have to have that living in this nasty now. Mm-hmm. And there are three things that make up your anatomy and the essence of man. But the part of you that is your conscience and choosing is your soul. Your mind can be tricked, but your soul can say, I don't want to do that. With me? Your mind is the spirit and it's a battle up there, but when it filters down in your soul, and we talk about the doctrine all the time, talking about bad doctrine. You know, you can trust Christ died for your sins and buried, rose again. Praise God, hallelujah. And you're saved, sealed, and going to heaven. But if you don't get the right doctrine down in that soul where it knows how to pray, and knows what how to make decisions, see, and how to do the right thing. That's the issue here. It ain't going nowhere. We always talk about, well, the Holy Spirit won't operate on the basis of what? You can feed it stuff all day long, and it may sit there, and you force it, and your body thinks it's what God's doing, but it's not. Now, as an unsaved person, the body, that flesh, dominates and ran things. Can it still today? As an unsaved person, yeah. Okay, how about a saved person?
Yes.
Yeah. But he says to what? Put that off now. We had to put it, why? Put it off and live like who you are. Put this old man off and start living like who you are in Christ. Now, some of us have to take baby steps. But when we was in their flesh, we was like, look at me, I'm strutting. You know, keep on trucking type of thing. And let me ask you this. Do you know what Christ teaches you? Humility,
self-respection,
be a servant. But in contrast of what we're saying here,
yield to the Spirit.
What is Christ teaching us? He's teaching you that you are not that old man anymore. So what?
Stop living like you are.
Put it off.
Yeah.
Put it off. And I know, once again, guys, I know as the older we get, sometimes, oh, it's just Ed. You know, it's, you know what I mean? Like, you know what I'm talking about? Like, when we get around our kids, like, oh, it's just Dad. Dad's going to be Dad. Well, do I have to be Dad? Can I sit back and start saying, you know, you're adults now. We're talking a little bit differently. We're seeing each other a little bit differently. You know, it's funny when you raise kids, sometimes you got a big family, you can't buy the organic foods. You know, you ever notice that? You had to buy the 99-cent ramen noodles or tomatoes, knowing it's been pumped full of gas to get it that way. But you look over there, it's $1.99 for a greenhouse grant, you know? And you can't do that. We talked about that before. You have to shop certain areas. And you get older, then the kids come over like, Dad, why didn't you have that stuff when we was there? Well, I got...
Because you ate too much.
Yeah, I got three more pennies in my pocket than I had before. But look, now turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 24 says, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24, and he put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. In other words, you have been taught by Christ that when you got saved, you put the old man off, but you also put on the new man. Mm-hmm. You know, we talked about last week, you can't put on something until you put off something. I'm thinking, how are they ruined? You know what I mean? How much room do you have in that body if you don't put off something to put on something new? You have to make room, don't you? Well, you know, some of us have kids move back in after a while. You made room, did we not? So they could either put their old bed in it or put the dresser in there, or put the clothes in there. So, you know, that type of thing. Our bedrooms are cleared out. It's like when they, now I've got to put them back because you got... coming over, got company coming over, and you know, all that stuff. But it's not being put back the way it was. We're not going to put three dressers in one bedroom anymore for the clothes. We'll put one dresser for you when you come over. You can put your clothes in it. You know, that's putting off something, but you're putting on something new. And Christ is in you, and you have been taught by Him that you put on the new man. Romans, you're still in Romans. 6:4 says... Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in what? Yes. The newness of life. You know what that is, don't you? That's grace. Walking in new life. Verses 6 through 10 says, knowing this, that the old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we shall not serve sin, for he that is dead is free from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death had no dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto what? You see, the reason here that you can put away that old lifestyle, that old man, that is the old man himself, is dead. You know, we talk about prayer requests, we talk about people that we're praying for, so they don't understand that. They don't understand that even if they're saved today, you still can be in that old man. But Paul says what? God through Paul says what? It's dead. And you can put away his lifestyle because it has been put away. It's nothing you and I had. It's already been put away for us. You with me? Mm-hmm. But what do we want to do?
Resurrect.
You know, and live in it. Mm-hmm. And he says, the old man has been put out of business when Christ was crucified. Out of business. Wouldn't that be a great sign to hang on this flesh? Out of business. But we liked you. We liked who you was. And your flesh is like, but what am I going to do? Where am I going to go? You're dead. You're dead. And the old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we shall not serve. You know, we learned this before. And Paul's looking at the Ephesians saying, hey guys, put off, put on. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet, not I, but what? Christ liveth in me. Now, if Christ is living in me, is that something new or something old that I'm... It's new. And when you tap into that, it starts making a difference in some decisions that I'm making and how I treat family members or even a stranger. You know, we see people standing on the side of roads all the time like, we'll work for food. And how many of us like, yeah, right. You know, I've got a yard right now and needs to be tended on. And then you're like, do I really want them over? But I'm just saying, sometimes we get in that old man saying, hey, buddy, why don't you get a job? You know, there's people out there that's got jobs right now. You know what I'm saying? We can say, hey, here's a bottle of water. I don't have no money to give you, but here's some fruit. I'll never forget that time right down here. This guy asked me, hey, will you help a veteran out? I said, I don't have any money, but I've got some food. Well, what do you have? I said, I've got some this. He says, well, no, that's okay. I'm like, okay. Sorry, guy. See, I deal with people like that. And you have too many of us. Some of us is just not appreciated. They want you to give them money. Where they can go out and buy. I don't carry money on me. The old truck drivers used to carry hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. Wallets this big. Chain around them. You know? And you hit a truck driver up for just about anything at the fuel stop and stuff, you know? I've had them, hey, I left my wallet in Buffalo, and I'm going to Columbus. Yeah, and I'm at the gas pump. Can you loan me $20? I said, I'll be up there in a minute. Yeah, I'm serious. But they're gone. I'm fueling my truck. And I said, I'll be up there in a minute to pay for your gas. And they're gone.
Yeah.
So what are they wanting?
Cash.
So my old man knows that. But at the same time, my new man in Christ said, I want to help you out. And by the way, do you know Jesus Christ? But the reason it's dead, you don't serve sin. Galatians 5:24. Galatians 5:24. Galatians 5:24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with affections of lust. And lust. You see that? The old man has been killed. He's been put off. Verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, if you're saved, let us also walk in the Spirit. Then let us walk like what? Is that a capital S or a little S, guy? What does that tell you?
Christ.
It's a big spirit. It's not your spirit. Now, how many of us, without showing hands and stuff like that, how many of us walks in little spirit sometime? I do. You know what I mean? I'm serious. The little spirit takes over the big spirit. It's not resident in me. It's just like, I got to stop that. I got to put off that old man and put on the new man. If you are alive in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit and not in the what? Flesh. Let's walk according to the Spirit of God is doing, not according to what the old man, the old flesh, wants to do. That is what Christ has taught us. Now either we take it off the words or we don't. And this ain't an issue about losing your salvation here. It's the fact that you want to walk worthy. I'm thinking about a message in Chicago. I got my assignment for Chicago. And it's 2 Timothy 4:8 in regards to the crown of glory. And I have to talk about your rewards, what you're going to receive in ages to come. That's a big thing. You think about the crown of glory. You know what the glory of God is? To save people. But you know what? When Adam lost his glory, you know what he lost? He lost, it's a rainbow. When you see the glory of God shine throughout, it's going to be a rainbow. And you got a crown of glory. You got Christ. You got a crown of righteousness that He gave you. You got His righteousness. You're not getting out of it. You know what I'm talking about? And then you got the crown of glory. He's talking about Him. And I thought about, you know when you put a crown on somebody? You don't get no higher than that, do you?
On this earth.
You put a king, Walt. There's nobody above you. You talk about King of Kings, Lord of Lords. There's nobody above you. And He's put, positionally, He's already put you there. And I'm thinking about rewards in the places of where we're going to be. And I had a preacher friend says, I'm going to witness, I'm going to build churches, I'm going to do this, because I don't want to shovel manure in heaven. I want to be a mayor. Well, is that a bad thing to strive for? Or
depends on your heart attitude. Are you too good to shovel manure? Because I'll do whatever
because,
I'm asked to do when I get
because there. If you know the structure, when we're called out here, Jesus Christ, we're seated at the Beamer seat, and He judges us for what we've done with this gospel and what we've done with our bodies. Then He takes us and presents it to God the Father. And God the Father is the one who puts us in positions. Mm-hmm. But I guarantee you, you're not going to sit up there and say, I don't want to shovel manure. You're going to be, praise God, hallelujah. And I say manure because there's horses in heaven. There's plants there. Aren't they clothed in white linen? If we're clothed in linen, that means there's a plant up there. So, and everything, the earth's supposed to be a mirror of heaven. And the principalities and powers and governments and places like that is a mirror of what's in heaven. So there are degrees of rewards up there. I don't know why I got off on this. I better keep going. But the thing is, you're in Christ. You know what I'm saying? Why am I doing this? Why do I want to be kind in a way that I want to win you? You know, I always say, if you don't like somebody, just ignore them. You don't have to go over and circle the house 15 times, throw eggs at it. You know what I mean? You don't have to say bad things. Just ignore them and move on. And Jesus has dealt with that old man. He has dealt with that old sin nature, and he's dealt with it at Calvary. It's done settled, guys. And you see, if you didn't, he didn't just die to pay for our sins, but he did that, and he dealt with who we are. We sin because we rot. You know, you've heard that probably all your life. And we don't just need somebody to pay for all the wrong things we do, but we need somebody to change us in that very nature. I think about when I was a young kid making bad decisions. I owed some money, and my mom pays it off. You know, so I can get a new start. Is that a bad thing or a good thing? You can say, well, if I didn't, it'd be good and bad. Because you know what? It still took 7 years. Whether she paid it off or I paid it off, it still took that time. And we see kids sometimes, oh, Dad, just loan me $15 or, you know, $100 I'll pay, whatever the case may be. If we pay it off, what's it teaching them? We talk about this all the time. It's not teaching them anything. But he paid that off. But we need to change somebody to change us. It took Christ to pay it off. And it changed us. Sometimes we pay things off and it don't change them. You know, that's why we need to teach people, teach our kids especially, and our loved ones and stuff, is Christ died for your sin. He paid that sin debt. Now go out and live like who you are. Don't continue in that. And the only way you're going to get rid of him, that old man, is to what? Put on Christ or what? Kill it. Kill it. Let me ask you this. But can you be influenced by a dead man?
Amen. Yeah. I hope so.
You know... You know you can, can't you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's what we're dealing with right now, sometimes that old man. But a dead man can influence you, and you can be influenced by your old man, but God says it's dead. And you walk on the basis of what God says, not what Ed says, but what God says, and you make your experience match what God teaches us. That's hard, but we can do it. And the Christian walk is not struggling or striving. It's not our struggling and our striving and our efforts. Look what I'm doing. I'm coming to church every day. Who's got a perfect attendance here? Record. None of us. So guess what? You're not making it. But the striving part of it and the influence. And we don't try to shoot the old man. We just abandon him and turn our back on him. Right? You're not going to kill that old man. You just abandon. You put him off. He's going to be there till the day you die. Colossians 3:8 says, but now ye also put on these. He is saying that you just quit doing them. Stop doing them. And the answer to sin in your life of the believer is just one word. S-T-O-P. You go out here and run, go through that stop sign. You stop, don't you? And I shared this with you before. There's a way you stop at a stop sign, believe it or not. You got a crosswalk, and you got a big old DOT line. It's about this big, and it's there for a reason. And you're supposed to stop. Where you're looking, when you see it over your hood, you can see that big line. Not the stop line. Not the crosswalk. Not halfway in an intersection. Oh, stop. Not at the stop sign. But if you can't see, after you stop, you move up. You know that, don't you? But there's a way that you stop at that stop sign because if you get hit in the rear, you won't be pushed out into traffic. If you get pushed out in traffic, chances are, somebody hits you, they're coming after you. So you just stop. You know how many times I'm sitting over in that seat over in that jump seat. You gonna stop? You gonna stop? Stop. They stop. I'm like, okay. Now, one word stops that and stop. But now ye also put off these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, but have put on the new man. That's Colossians chapter 3, verse 8. He said, hey, act like who you are. That's basically what he's saying. In Romans chapter 4, we're getting ready to close. You have been taught by Christ in the book of Romans. So you have been taught Ephesians chapter 4. We're not finished with Ephesians chapter 4, but we have been taught so far. And you've been taught by Christ in the book of Romans. You have laid the foundation properly. If you have laid the foundation properly, he has taught you to put off the old man and to put on the what? New man. Can I encourage you this week, homework number two, start practicing that in our lives? You know, put off that old man, put on that new man. Not malice and all that stuff. It's hard, guys. It's hard, especially, well, you know that old saying, you can't lead a horse to
water.
Yeah, you can lead the horse to water, but you can't. You know how you make them drink.
Salt.
You salt the oats. And our speech is supposed to be seasoned with what?
Salt.
And when you salt, they're like, they get thirsty. And you give them what? Living water, don't you? You give them the Word of God. And they're like, man, that's refreshing. You know, we talk about people all the time, you guys out there witnessing. You're like, why come nobody ever showed me this before? Why are you the only one showing me this? Mm-hmm. And I love the answer that Sherry gave one day. She goes, well, it's because somebody gave it to me. Somebody, some person shared that information with me. It didn't take a caravan. You know, it didn't take beating your drums at your house every night. One person loved her enough to sit down and say, let me show you some things. And that's how we should be. You know, the only way you get people in the body of Christ is get them saved by trusting Christ died for your sins. But they'll trust you sharing it. They'll trust you sharing it. They'll trust you sharing it like, wow, I've never seen that before. Well, let's study some more. And you get them and you start trusting you that you're going to teach them. And then they see it out of the Word of God. And then they believe it, don't they? I told that guy the other day, I said, you know something? I'll trust you, but I won't put my faith in you. I trust you that you're going to be honest with each other. I'm going to shoot straight. It's integrity. You know, I encourage you to talk to your bosses that way. You know, just be honest. You know, that goes a lot longer way than it is trying to make up a story that you're going to get busted anyway.
Right.
You know, I keep referring to driving and technology we have. You know, headway monitoring. This one driver, he's dealing with some headway monitoring stuff. Well, the technology is telling on him. And what it amounts to, if you follow somebody more than 2 seconds, you know what 2 seconds falling distance? Over 2 minutes, over 20 mile an hour, that's how they break it down, it sends a message to my boss saying, Ed's got a problem. Okay? Well, what do you do about that? You back off. And that's the last thing a trucker want to do. You know, because he's going to say, well, I'm going to get rear-ended in the rear. Listen, guys, you can control what's in front of you and beside of you. You can't control what's behind you. You with me? So when that truck came over on him going up that hill and he started slowing down, he gets that greedy look like, you know, and you just, and it busted him. It busts me if I'm doing the same thing. And once again, 2 seconds over 2 minutes. 2 minutes is a long time on a highway. So, back off. And we try to encourage people, let your experience
put it off.
Take over, not that little control thing. It's done got you. So his thing was, I'm going to justify. I would have got rear-ended. Well, that was the guy behind the problem. So, once again, put off that old man and just say, you know something? I'm wrong. And go on about it. Move on. Father, once again, we thank you for the day you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.